오늘 우리에게 주신 하나님의 말씀은
The scripture we're going to read is Matthew chapter 26 verse 6 to 13. Matthew 26 verse 6 to 13. Let's do a response reading. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon Peter, Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Amen. Let us all pray together. Pray for our senior overseer. He's delivering the message that he came the wisdom, knowledge, and power and spiritual sense. And also pray for our souls who are listening to the word, that we can be the fertile soul able to receive the word with amen, and that we can have faith to obey. Let's all pray for this. Let's all pray together.
하나님 아버지 감사합니다. 오늘 이렇게 귀한 예배 시간을 허락하여 주셔서 제19차 베레아 문서 세계 선교 특별 예배로 드려집니다. 오늘 우리 원로 감독님 이렇게 우리에게 말씀을 전하실 텐데 그 입술에 기름 부어 주시사 말씀의 지혜와 말씀의 지식과 말씀의 능력을 주시고 영감을 더하여 주시옵소서. 돕는 천사를 전하여 주시고 심령의 평안을 주시고 독수리 같은 샘을 주셔서 아버지여 피곤치 않도록 육체도 강건케 하여 주시옵소서. 하나님 아버지 특별히 오늘은 이렇게 베레아 문서 세계 선교를 위한 아버지 우리 말씀을 주실 텐데 아버지 모든 책의 저자로서 우리에게 그 귀한 말씀을 주실 때에 우리는 동일한 성령으로 동일한 영감으로 그 말씀을 우리 심령의 아멘으로 받을 수 있도록 우리 심령의 옥토되게 하여 주시옵소서. 이 예배에 집중하고 몰입하게 하여 주시고 성령으로 진리만을 깨닫게 하여 주셔서 과연 우리가 선교는 무엇인지 한번 깊이 깨닫게 하여 주시고 오늘 그 들은 말씀이 우리 영혼의 명령된 우리가 그 말씀 따라 순종할 수 있도록 도와주시옵소서. 온 세계
하나님 아버지,
God Father, as you have given us this precious hour, we have all gathered together to pray, and the saints who are interested in world mission have earnestly prayed, and they desire to hear your word. Holy Spirit, be with us, anoint your servants' lips, and grant him the wisdom, knowledge, and power to preach the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all pray again. God, Father, we have souls who have given offering. God, grant your grace and blessings to all. Mission building offering has been given by Song Kyung's family. Remember all the saints and households who have done likewise. Ichoro's family have given tithe. Grant grace and blessings to all the saints who have done likewise. And Ebon's family have given monthly offering. God, remember them, and also give your grace and blessings to all the saints and households who have given monthly offering. Pang Myung-sup's family have given thank offering. Lord, remember and give grace and blessings to all the saints and households who have given thank offering. Also give grace and blessings to those who have given the Lord's Day gift today. And for those who are worshipping together with us from the 60th original worship centers, God be with them and grant them the same grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray in Jesus' name that all those who have given thanks to God will be filled with God's grace. Is the choir the members of the World Literature Mission? No? Then are you professionals? It seems like you are lacking energy. I was wondering what's wrong.
여러분, 나는 예수 그리스도를 믿는 믿음을 가졌는데.
You and I have faith in Jesus Christ, and this faith is given by God.
이게 선교는 누가?
Mission was done by whom? By God.
하나님이 우리에게 믿음을 갖다 주신.
Because God delivered faith to us.
근데 하나님이 우리에게 믿음을 줄 때.
Although God gave us faith.
그가 어떻게 주셨는가?
How did he give that faith to us? The one and only Son who was in his bosom, he sent. Gave him to us as our faith. Made him shed his blood so that that blood we have received as our faith. And his merits, his righteousness have been given to us. His grace has been given to us as faith. Jesus died, and then he returned to heaven, and he asked the Father, sent the Holy Spirit to us, so that we are the ones who possess the faith God gave us. We have great dreams in regard to mission, but if you don't understand the essence, the substance of what mission is about, then it will only just be an empty and fruitless or unproductive work. The faith that we have is not a religion. We have received life. Christian faith is not a religion. God didn't give us a religion to believe. He gave us Jesus to believe. And he gave us the blood of Jesus to believe. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to obey. So, although we cannot see the Holy Spirit with our eyes, how do we know that he has come? He comes and makes us understand the word. And by believing in that word, we receive salvation. So the word upon which the Holy Spirit works is called the truth. The word that doesn't have the work of the Holy Spirit isn't the truth. That's why the law is not called the truth. In John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the law was given through Moses. Who gave it to Moses? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, what did it say? The law was given through the hands of the angels, the hands of a mediator, that is, through angels, only until the time of Jesus, the Son of God. So the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Although nobody has ever seen God, the one and only God has appeared before us. What God has given us is not a religion. Even Buddhism came Buddhism was on the earth before Christianity came about. There were high religions already present on the earth. And you cannot uproot them because there are just too many of them. Though the Romans pressured them, they couldn't uproot these religions because there were so many of them. This world is full of religions, and did God give another religion on top of that? No. Wherever man lives, there is religion, because there cannot be any order without any religion. So the world was already governed by religion, and God didn't add another religion on top of it. He gave Jesus to believe. So we are not following certain formalities of a religion, nor do we follow our own conviction. We follow the faith that God gave us. So in the Bible it says, believe in God, trust in God. And in Greek, it's pista. It means have God's faith, God's confidence, continuously have His faith. Have God's faith, God's confidence. God gave us His faith. It is not our own conviction that we have. We are to have God's faith. Even though people don't believe in Jesus, they have their own conviction. They grow with their own conviction. They study with their own conviction. They study and research with their own conviction. And they challenge the things of this world with their own conviction, even politicians and businessmen. They do that all by their own conviction. But that conviction cannot save a person's soul. It doesn't have life. What God gives us is not self-conviction. It is faith. So our faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is the word spoken through Jesus Christ. It said in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Our faith, where did it come from? Where did it originate? Other religions are about their own conviction. But Christian faith is not a religion about moral cultivation. It is about having the faith given by God. We receive by grace what God is giving. It's not about self-cultivation. It is not through our own cultivation that we become a believer, that we receive what God gives us. It doesn't happen through cultivation or penance or asceticism. It is just by God's grace that we receive the faith He gives. If you don't have the faith given by God and you follow your own conviction, then you cannot deliver your prayers to God. And your life will be in confusion. And so although people lead Christian faith life, there are some of them who are pessimists. But this is what happens in other religions. This shouldn't happen in Christian faith. So it is neither with our own conviction nor with our own cultivation, because moral cultivation comes from our own conviction, and moral cultivation or self-cultivation is mysticism. That's not what we're trying to do, though. We are trying to have the faith that God gives us. We don't need to do so. We are just leading a life that is set apart after we believe in Jesus, but we do not cultivate ourselves in order to receive faith. It's not that we obtain faith after a few years has passed. We believe this moment right now. If we have been evangelized today, then we can believe that day, and that's thus we follow Christians. How is that possible? We haven't even cultivated ourselves. How can we become spiritual people? It's by grace. It's a gift. It's for free. Not your own righteousness, but it is by God's righteousness. Then how? You receive it as grace, as a gift. That's why mission is about giving a gift. It's a gift. Nowadays in Korea they used to say 대박, but do you know what 대박 means? It means in Chinese character is big 대, and 박 is a ship or a boat. So it means a large boat or a big ship. And that means the word 대박, often used by people, it actually originally means a large ship, because those large ships that used to come into the docks were carrying lots of silk and other gifts that are given to the king. That's why it was a ship full of gifts, and so it was called a 대박, which was a large ship, a big boat. A huge gift is coming, and that's why they called it a big ship. They always say 대박 for everything these days. I don't think they know the meaning of 대박, but that means it actually means a gift or a big ship that's carrying lots of gifts. God's grace is really a huge gift, and mission is about giving a gift.
But
But what they cannot even confirm, what they cannot even be sure of. Whether they hear or not, whether they receive or not. We can't do mission like that. We have to, although I have no merits of my own, although I'm just a sinner, God has given this great gift. They have to realize that they have to experience it in that way. So the working of the Holy Spirit helps us to experience. So He gives a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit comes so that we may experience. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the profit of all. To some, He gives words of wisdom, words of knowledge, some power, some distinguishing spirits, to some performing miraculous signs, to some healing, to some prophecy, to some speaking tongue, to others speaking and interpreting tongues. It's all about experience. So faith is an experience. It is not just a philosophy. Religion is a philosophy, but Christian faith is a reality. It's not a philosophy. It's about believing. It's about obeying. It's about obeying. The way that God did mission, that's the original. Although we humans are like dust, we are so weak and so insignificant, but the way, the principle must be the same, identical as the way that God did it. See, electricity is produced at the power station and it is delivered through the wires, electrical wires. Now, there are tens of thousands of volts. They're really high voltage. And that cannot go directly into the households. That's why it is reduced through the transformer. So the very high voltage electrical current that comes from the power station is actually reduced so that it can actually go into each of the households, the very many households. So without that transformer, all the houses will burn on fire, people will be electrocuted because of the high voltage. The way that God did the work of mission towards us is truly what God has done. So it's greater than this universe. It is greater than the creation of the world. It is the Son of God that came, who did it Himself. It's God who shed His own blood. This is the work of God. In order to give us faith, after He shed His blood, after He died, He rose again. And who raised Him? God raised Him. We've witnessed this with our own eyes. And what is the greatest hope that we have? People just have this desire to live just a little bit longer, a little bit longer. And because it's an age where people live up to 100, people love it. To live to 100 years. But just say that your back is really bad and you live up to 100 years, how would you feel? And people just desire to live a little bit longer, a little bit longer. This is man's greed. Everybody has this desire to live long. That's why they want to eat healthy. They take medicine, supplements. But man cannot live long. He will die in the end. Methuselah lived 969 years. So it's 31 years short of 1,000 years. But Enoch, his grandfather, lived just a little bit over 300 years. And for 300 years, he walked with God. He walked with God, and God actually took him, so he was no longer on the earth. While his grandson lived to 969 years, his grandfather lived only 300 years. Still, other people would think, oh, that person who lived long is blessed, and the one who lived 300 so years would be a curse. But that's not what the Bible says. He walked with God, and God took him. It didn't say that God took Methuselah. In the year that there was a flood, Methuselah actually died. If we calculate the years, he actually died in the year of the flood. He didn't die because of the flood, but he died in that year. On the year that Methuselah was 969, there was a flood. But it didn't say that he was blessed. But Enoch walked with God, and God took him so that he was no longer on the earth. Just because your lifespan is short doesn't mean that you've been cursed, and just because your lifespan is long doesn't mean that you have been particularly blessed. This is just merely man's thinking, out of man's desire to live longer. So one of the greatest desires of man is to live long. Even if people are really old, if they're threatened to be killed, then they will tremble because they're afraid of dying. Even if they're an elderly who would barely survive the year, that day, if somebody threatens to kill them, they'll be like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And they'll be trembling in fear because they want to live a little bit longer. But God gave us the faith to live forever, the faith that leads to eternal life. He didn't just give us faith, He showed us faith to believe. Jesus started at the age of 31 and He died at 33. God raised Him. And 500 or so people saw at once Him brought to life. He rose again, He entered heaven, and Jesus said, when I go to heaven, it is good for you because I will ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, I will send Him to you. So wait. So He went into heaven, received the Holy Spirit, and sent Him to us. And in Mark's upper mass, Jesus said, those who were waiting, who trusted in His word and who waited, they received the Holy Spirit. It didn't end with His death. He actually rose again. And His resurrection is not a made-up story. Jesus said, wait. And they waited as the Lord told them. And the Holy Spirit came upon them 10 days later. If the Holy Spirit came on the day that Jesus went up into heaven, people could have argued that it was just natural phenomena, but it actually took 10 days. And during that time, no matter how much they waited, no matter how much they prayed or fasted, the Holy Spirit didn't come. Because the Holy Spirit, we can, for us to experience the Holy Spirit, be inspired by the Holy Spirit, speak in tongue, and perform miraculous signs and healing by the Holy Spirit, is not a natural phenomenon. It is only possible when the Holy Spirit comes. That's why the Bible says, he who believes in me will have streams of living water flowing from within him. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit they would receive. But Jesus had not yet been glorified, and thus nobody had yet received the Holy Spirit. Jesus went up into heaven and was seated on the throne of heaven, and that's where he sent us the Holy Spirit. So 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. This is proof that he is living forever. Even now, he is sending the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years ago, it wasn't just in Mark's upper room, but in the various churches, the Holy Spirit came and was at work. And even today, 2,000 years later, we experience this. We are experiencing the same thing. What does this tell us? The Lord is sending the Holy Spirit to us even now. So in John chapter 15, verse 26, it says the Holy Spirit continues to come out of the Father. He continues to come out just as the living water flows. If you go to the river, there is actually the origin where the stream starts, where the water droplets fall. That's where the river actually begins. The water trickles down and it forms a river. So that's where the river starts and it continues to flow from. Just as the Son of God came, God, it's not that the Holy Spirit came, but the Holy Spirit continues to come out of God. But in the book, Let Us Know the Holy Spirit, people will not acknowledge it or read it. The Holy Spirit continues to come out of the Father. The Holy Spirit continues to come out of the Father has come in us. And he testifies, bears witness. So Christ is still living and he's continuously sending the Holy Spirit to us. So the Holy Spirit continues to come out of the Father. He died and he resurrected, and man has confirmed this with their own eyes. How did this happen? Romans chapter 8, verse 12, it says, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, then the Holy Spirit will also raise your mortal bodies. It's the same. Just as Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, you will also be raised from the dead. He gave us faith. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why would you believe in Jesus? If there is no eternal life, why would you believe in Jesus? When we say eternal life, we are talking about eternal life, everlasting life. Jesus Christ actually resurrected from the dead. And that wasn't by his own ability or his own power that he lived again. Some people might make a mistake and they say, oh, Jesus rose again from the dead because he's so full of power. He rose again from the dead. But that actually is wrong. Jesus died. Jesus was killed by men. And then he didn't say, oh, you've done killing me? I'm going to come back to life. And he didn't come back to life because he would have just fainted if that was the case. by just fainting, he cannot save us. He has to die in order to save us. Why? Because we were supposed to perish because of our sin, and because he has to carry our death, he has to also die. If he just faints and lives again, then our sin remains. That's why he died. He didn't just faint. He died. And it's complete despair. There is nothing left. But in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, he says that while he was in the flesh, he gave up cries and petitions to the one who could raise him to life, and his cries were heard. By his reverence, he was heard, and so he was brought to life. For him, everything was just despair. There was nothing that he could do. By his own power, he could not live again, but it was God who raised him to life. And this is where our faith lies. In Acts chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "You have killed Jesus Christ, but God raised him to life." God raised him to life. In verse 32, God raised him and have taken him up, seated him on the throne of heaven. God raised him to life. Jesus died. And how can the dead have any power? How can the dead have any life? How can the dead have any power or anything that he can do? It was God who raised him to life. How? By the Holy Spirit. And so to the believers, the stream of living water will flow. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is given to us so that you will also be raised to life. So we are not listening, we are not receiving this word as a concept or a mere notion. By receiving the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that God, the one and only Creator, has given us, if we don't confess our experience of this, then we are just unbelievers. That's why in the Bible it asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? I didn't know there was even the Holy Spirit. And so they had to explain about Jesus again, and the people baptized, and when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 19, without the Holy Spirit, without the coming of the Holy Spirit, then you are not yet a Christian, if we go according to the Bible, because it says, he who believes in will have streams of living water flowing from within him. So do not leave the city of Jerusalem, but wait for the Holy Spirit. If you believe, then wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit. And after you receive the Holy Spirit, confess. You will be my witnesses, confessing with your own lips. So we must be those who live by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must dwell in us, lead us, giving us wisdom and faith and hope. So everything that comes through our lips doesn't come through our own conviction, but from faith given by God. When you evangelize, if you evangelize by your own conviction, then you are the one who has started with the Holy Spirit but ending up in your flesh, trying to attain your goal with your flesh. Even when we didn't believe in Jesus, we had conviction. We had a sense of religion. Even this social order that is present in this world is actually religious. That's why there are ethics and morals within this world. Because we're living with a lot of people, there must be order. And this is all religious. However, we have the faith given by God. So even the grandfather would say, God our Father. Even a grandchild would say, God our Father. According to the rules in this world, it's actually wrong. The grandfather would say, since I say God Father, you have to say God my great-grandfather. No, we don't say that. Everybody cries out, God my Father, God our Father. Because everybody has their own experience. Each individual whether it's the grandson or the father or the grandfather or the great-grandfather, everybody has the same experience and they will become children of God, sons of God, and daughters of God. This is not something that can be passed down, because then if it was in heaven, you'd be saying, God, my great-grandfather, and somebody else would be saying, God, my grandfather. It's each person's experience. If you've experienced God, if you've experienced the Holy Spirit, then you will cry out, God, our Father. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So by the Holy Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba is in Hebrew, and that means Father. Father. We call Him our Father. So even the grandfather received in the faith of God, and he cries out, Godfather. And his son also received in faith, so he says, Godfather. Even his grandson received in faith, so he says, God, my Father. Father. How? This is by the Holy Spirit. Some people serve in the church and they are very zealous, and then they leave the church, become depraved, and they no longer believe in Jesus. Even until yesterday, they were saying, God, Father, and now they no longer go to church. And so the people that were evangelized by this person would go out and evangelize to that person, saying, oh, deacon, you evangelized me, you brought me to church, and how come you've become corrupt? How come you've fallen away? This newcomer is now evangelizing this deacon. How come these people call out God, Father, and yet become depraved? Because they didn't do this by the Holy Spirit. Even if they claim to have received the Holy Spirit, that they speak in tongue, those who have fallen astray did not start right. Because if they are born again of the Holy Spirit, they cannot do that. The one born again of the Holy Spirit will never deny Him. Cannot deny Him. The one born of the Holy Spirit. Each believer must have a stream of living water flowing from within them. And everybody must have the experience of the Holy Spirit, must have a spiritual experience. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, I do not want you to be ignorant of the spiritual. What did it say in verse 2? When you were living as Gentiles, you were led by idols, mute idols. In other words, you were led just by just religion. Everybody was religious. But without the Holy Spirit, nobody can confess Jesus as Lord. It's in verse 3. Without the Holy Spirit, nobody can confess Jesus as Lord. Nobody can call God their Father. You cannot just say, God, my Father, and just suddenly change because of your emotion, because of your resentment against the church or the pastor or the saints going out of the church and not calling God your Father anymore. This person might have said that they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongue or had great fervor. This person just led a religious life. They hadn't received faith as a gift of God, and they didn't live by that faith. Even the Holy Spirit, it is not by our doing penance or by asceticism or through our own merits that we received the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit by grace. It is not through any other efforts that we received the Holy Spirit. It's not because we fasted and prayed that we received the Holy Spirit. It's not because we prayed a lot that we received the Holy Spirit. It is by grace that we received the Holy Spirit. So your faith life has to start by grace from the very beginning, by God's grace. What is the grace He's given us? Those that say, I believe in God. They make a lot of confessions with their lips, but God seals people's faith by the Holy Spirit. He seals them by the Holy Spirit and sends the Holy Spirit as a deposit, is the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 2. Our faith has to be guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. I received the Holy Spirit, meaning I have my faith guaranteed by God. God has sealed my faith and He has guaranteed it. Because that person is not so zealous and fervent, I'm not going to be either. Since I'll just stay in church and I'll just relax, I should be okay. But that's actually depravity. That's wrong. That is not right. Our faith, if it started by the Holy Spirit, then it has to continue to the end. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit in the beginning, the person who is full of the Holy Spirit would do everything, pray by the Holy Spirit, worship by the Holy Spirit, would serve by the Holy Spirit, would evangelize by the Holy Spirit, would do everything by the Holy Spirit. Later on, they just loosen and do not do this by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, do not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit. Because while you do that, you will grieve the Holy Spirit. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, then you will only depart from the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but became one that deceives the Holy Spirit, lies to the Holy Spirit. How dare you test the Holy Spirit? How dare you deceive the Holy Spirit? How dare you test God? People who started off by the Holy Spirit are testing God. They are testing the Holy Spirit, deceiving. And this is not at all profitable to them. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, what did it say? After you have received the knowledge of the truth, you only know the truth by the Holy Spirit. So after you receive this knowledge of the truth, if you go on sinning willfully, there is no more atonement. What is this sin that is committed willfully? In the past, we carried the original sin, the sin that leads to hell. Now we've escaped from it by believing in the truth. But it became nothing. That's what it means by sinning willfully. In the past, we carried our original sin, and it means to return to that same state. It means to have returned to the old. There are so many who sin willfully these days. Though they started by the Holy Spirit, they want to attain their goal by their flesh. There are many people who want to finish in their flesh. We should be thankful in all circumstances, whether we are poor, whether things don't go very well. Even if we're sick, we should be thankful. Even if we are going to end up dying, even if our son is about to die, even if our parents are about to die, we should be thankful. We should be thankful. I am obeying God's will and my family is obeying God's will. Everything is going according to your will and we are giving thanks. Now, if people fall into temptation, they just start resenting God, saying, I want to die, I want to kill myself. Then God would ask, what would all your faith until now end up in? You believe that you would have eternal life, you believe that you would resurrect. Now, you've been giving thanks to God until now, but have you been testing God all this time? Have you been deceiving God all this time? Why do people live like this? We talk about mission, but there must be the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in order for mission to actually be possible. Every dawn, I come to the center and I pray. And what I pray for is, God, I want to have spiritual sense of your word. I want your word to be my faith. I want it to become spiritual sense. I want to have the spiritual sense of your precious blood. I want to have spiritual sense, spiritual inspiration of the precious blood. I want to have the spiritual inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These three I want to carry with me all my life. Let's all say together, Lord, grant me the spiritual sense of the word. Grant me spiritual sense of your blood. Grant me the spiritual inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All the days of your life, you need to be filled with the spiritual sense. We sing a lot, we do many things, but without God's spiritual sense. People might be singing with spiritual sense, but people actually can't sing without spiritual inspiration. When Moses was on Mount Sinai to receive God's word, his revelation, the people were below the mountain making a golden calf and they were dancing. And what did God say? They are dancing and singing. Even without the word of God, they can dance. Even without the word of God, they can sing loud. Now, all those people died that day. God's wrath fell upon them. For what should we rejoice? We should rejoice because of the word God gave us. The word is equal to God. It said in John chapter 1, verse 1, that word was with God and that word was God. When you listen to the word, when you read the word, do you truly regard it as equal to God? If you had done so, then none of you would disobey. There is nobody who would disobey and reject the word of God. But though people hear God's word, they do not believe that as equal to God. So they receive it as the words of men. God's word is Logos. And Logos is said in Revelation chapter 19. It's the word that is dressed in the robe sprinkled with God's blood. It is a word that contains God's life. It is sprinkled by God's blood. God's word and God. I'm not saying that this Bible is God. I'm not saying that these letters are God. Jesus Christ is the word. He is the Word made flesh. So the Word and Christ are equal. And Him and God are equal. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot receive God's Word. So we have these experiences by the Holy Spirit. All my life's desire is that I am filled with the Holy Spirit all the more, just like Deacon Stephen when he passed away, that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Lord will truly receive me with His arms wide open, and I can say, look, the Lord has His arms wide open in heaven. A criminal was being executed. He was a murderer. Now, will the Lord stand up from His throne to welcome a murderer and a criminal? When He saw Deacon Stephen, who lived for Him, being put to death, He rose up from His throne and received him. Even when you go to the cemetery, the soldiers that died in battle, the president will go there and show their respect because those people died for the nation. They died being faithful, while being faithful to the nation. Jesus Christ is on the throne. It says He was always on the throne, but the moment that Deacon Stephen died, He rose from His throne. That's why Deacon Stephen said, look, Jesus is standing on the throne. Lord, forgive them their sins and receive my spirit. That's my dream, that in my last moment I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that when people, see, when Deacon Stephen was being stoned to death, it wasn't regarded as a curse, but they said his face shone like an angel. Why is it that you wouldn't trust the Lord? Why is it that you won't believe, and why wouldn't you love the Lord? Just believe Him. So we should not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Right after liberation, there was a little bit of electricity supplied. Then North Korea cut out the electricity supplies in 1948. And there was no way for us to have electricity. And though we live without it, we had electricity for about 2 hours from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And with that, we couldn't even turn on the light bulb, and we can't even read a book with that. It's worse than a candle. But now, electricity is supplied constantly, and we have that constant supply. But if you put out the fire of the Holy Spirit, it's like having no electric current flow, leading us to later on extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what the verse says. After receiving the knowledge of the truth, if you sin willfully, there is no more atonement left, only a fearful judgment and expectation of the great punishment, the fire of hell. So how fearsome it is to fall into the hands of God. If you have taken part in the Holy Spirit and tasted the spiritual gifts, if you fall away, you cannot be brought to repentance. For such a person to return, they must crucify Jesus Christ and put Him to shame again. It's Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. We need to become men of the Holy Spirit. Let's all say it together three times. Oh, my soul, be a man of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my soul, be a man of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my soul, be a man of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my soul, be a man of the Holy Spirit. Control your lips by the Holy Spirit. Control your heart by the Holy Spirit. Control your character by the Holy Spirit. Control your soul by the Holy Spirit. Mission. See, food is not nature. Man takes things from nature and creates food from it. Now, people make seasoning, different types of seasoning or flavors, and create food with the natural ingredients that they can find. Man comes up with different flavorings, seasonings, to make food that is edible. Man's character, way of thinking, is so violent and rough, and in order for faith to get through that and settle in them, because in the time of war, we never asked, does it taste nice? It was about, are you full? Everything was about being satisfied. You weren't seeking flavor. There wasn't anything to talk about the flavor. As long as you could eat something and have your fill, that was good enough. But nowadays, people can't sell food that way. After people retire, they say, how am I going to live for the rest of my life? And all that they can think of is food. So they say, what can I eat? They think, maybe I'll just run a restaurant, because they think, oh, if I cook the way that I cook for my family, I think it'll sell really well. But if you are a poor family, and you were always hungry, so even if your mom cooked anything for you, you would have tasted nice because you were hungry. And that only applies to your family, which is so poor. That food only applies to your family. But it doesn't mean that the whole world is going to like it. That they think, oh, if I just cook the way that I cooked in the family, the whole world is going to be going after it. But they can't. You need to be universal. So the Bible, in the Bible, salt is what is used to describe universality. It actually adds seasoning. It actually adds that saltiness. So it's all about balance in the seasoning. Oh, when my family used to just eat like this and like that, we used to, and everybody was just crazy about this food. But then when they make this into a restaurant and to try to sell, nobody comes because it doesn't work that way. So in order to make this suitable for all, that's why there are people that come out on TV. Oh, how do you make this seasoning? Oh, it's a secret, and they don't let anybody know. But some people put in all sorts of things in their pot. I don't know what they're putting in them, but and it all turns out well. So that person put in 10 ingredients, and the other person says, let's put out 12 ingredients. Let's even put in a tree bark. They just want to keep adding things. People like to do strange things, something unique, what other people haven't tried, because they say it's good for you, it's good for your body. Because they want to live just a few years longer. In order to suit man's tastes, there are different ways to do mission. It's just different seasoning, but we can't miss out. We can't forget the essence of it, of what mission is about. The essence is the Word. The Word. The Word. That came into the flesh is Jesus. Into an image is Jesus. And through that word, Jesus has been manifested. Through that word, Jesus has to come inside us. What God gave us is faith. And the mission that God has given us is faith. He gave us His Son. And His Son gave us His blood. He said, drink my blood, eat my flesh. In Romans, it said, be clothed in Jesus. He gave Himself completely. That is God's given faith. That is mission. And when we do mission, some people say they've gone to praise mission, and I've heard people talking about going to the Philippines mission trip, and what they say that what they did was go there and sing. And I say it's great, but what did you give them? That's the question. They see us singing and they clap, and they really liked it. But that's not their joy. What God gave us, we have to give to them. In baseball, as soon as you receive the ball, you have to hit it. As soon as you receive the ball, you have to pass it. As soon as you catch it, you have to throw it. Otherwise, you're going to lose. The same way, what God gave us, we have to quickly pass it. And so in our mission, there is essence. There is a substance in our mission. And if we forget that, then no matter how much we do it, it's useless. For example, in China, because of the system that they're under. But there are actually many Presbyterian churches, Baptist churches, Methodist churches that mission there. And they put a lot of money into that. And Korean people have wanted to go another a level up. And you ask them, how much is your income? Oh, we get maybe $10 a month. And they say, and they would give $100 to them. And so for these people, when they meet one visitor from Korea, they get like 2 months' wages or 10 months' wages. While they can't even give a dollar for offering, they would just go and spend their money that way. But there is not a Presbyterian church standing there. There is not a Methodist church that is actually established there. Under that system, there is not another organization that can go in, not another. So for the past 20 years, the Koreans and a lot of other churches have poured a lot, invested a lot. But the Presbyterian Methodist church, not one is established there. They can't penetrate. But I actually received a request for my calligraphy writing, and I actually received 250 Berean churches, and I actually have many more churches to write for. Through literature, they have heard the gospel, and there are about 100,000, actually 10 million, sorry. So we, Seongnak Church, we need to set China as our goal. We can get to them. We can get in. Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches can't get in, but we can actually get in and we can build Korean churches. Why? Because we have this gift from God. We have this mission. That's the way we do it. And literature mission has to go through. These books need to get through. So in the same way that God missioned us, we need to make them receive the Holy Spirit and become witnesses through the Holy Spirit. We need to use the same method, just as the high voltage electrical current is actually reduced to a lower voltage through the transformer. Since we are human beings, we are little and we are weak. We might have to reduce it in that sense, but the essence of the mission has to stay the same. And this hasn't just been entrusted to me, it has been entrusted to you. Every Christian has been told, wait for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Everybody has received this command. It is not just me, you, everybody received this command. Until when? Until you die. Until our breath ends, that final moment. Until then, this is a command that we need to obey. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 to 13, we read, and here, this lady poured the perfume on his head, but actually in other books it says that it's poured on his feet. But it was both poured on his head and his feet. Now the people at that time, when they saw the woman breaking the alabaster perfume, pouring on his head and his feet, they insulted and also insulted Jesus, saying, you know, if she sold it, she could have gotten 300 denarius. And that is, in today's currency, you can actually feed Korean noodles to 8,000 people. 8,000 people. You can feed Korean noodles to 8,000 people. That's how much. So how expensive was that perfume? She broke that And she poured the perfume upon him. And so all her wealth, all that she had was gone that instant. And so the people said, if she had sold that and given to the poor, then she could have helped so many. And now, and Jesus has let her do that. So is he really a prophet? And they also spoke ill against her as well. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said, do not just leave her alone. When I entered your house, you didn't even give me oil, that olive oil, even that cheap olive oil. You didn't even give me water to wash my feet. But this woman has wet my feet with her tears and have wiped it with her hair, and now she's poured this expensive perfume on me. This is because she loves me much. That's why she has done this. And so she has received much forgiveness. And he says, look at what she has done. Wherever my name is proclaimed, her works will also be preached also. Our dream, although our name is not well known, my name might be known because it's so persecuted, but your name may not be so known. However, our Lord will have our names written in the book of life that is before Him. Just as He loves His Son, He will love us and remember us, He said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 12. Your name will be written in the book of life that is before God, and you will be remembered. God will remember our names, and He will forever remember our names. Wherever my name is preached, what she has done will be preached also. The gospel does not preach the work of man, it preaches the work of God, what God has done. And even by a testimony, this work of this woman is preached continuously, will be spread. Of course, I write books. Some people think that somebody writes for me. There is not a book that somebody wrote for me. There are 264 books, and there is not one book that somebody wrote for me. I've written them. I didn't type it on the computer. I've actually handwritten them all. Whether they are 300 pages long, whether they are 1,200 pages, I've written them. I write. And others do the work of delivering this, passing this on to others. And it would actually cost them money because the books have to be printed. And so there are the photos of the family or their own photos or photo of a couple, a wedding photo, photo of children at the back. And we receive letters saying, these people have sent us these books and now we have received great transformation. And we receive news from all over the world. Just as the Lord said, wherever my gospel is preached, their works will be preached also. And this is happening in the same way. When the foreigners see these people on the book of the, on the back of the books that they received, they continuously say thank you and thank you. We are so thankful that you actually translated these books and sent it to us, and so we thank you. This is not just once that they say this, but God says, I will write your name in the book of life before me, and I remember them, remember you. If you don't believe in the promise of God, if you don't believe in God's promise, then you wouldn't do this. But whatever promise of God it is, He even gave us His only Son. What gift would He spare from us, and what promise would He not keep? We received all His Spirit because God kept His promise. He put His Son to death and He resurrected Him, sent it to heaven, and now He sent us all His Spirit to give us faith, meaning He kept His promise. You may be able to do this individually, but your whole family may do it so that your family will be known. Not long ago, after they saw the Paekguk Worship Center in Mongsanpo, they said, oh, we have a piece of land in Yangpyeong. And I'm thinking of selling it and to build a worship place. And I think they put up the price too high. They say it wasn't being sold. And I said, quickly lower the price and sell it so that you can do this before you die. They actually came to me and then I prayed for them. They said they want to sell it and they want to build a church on it. So through one person, another person, and another person does the same, and it continues. Before I die, if God works upon me, then I want to build another worship place. Which pastor in this world, when there are 8,300 churches over the 130-year history, but by myself, I have built 128 church buildings just alone by myself. And the smallest, from small to large, even this worship center, when is there another church that has built as a church so large as this? There is not another church in the world that can accommodate 18,000 people at once. I want to do this. What she has done will be proclaimed wherever my name is preached. Your faith and your name should be proclaimed wherever the gospel is preached. You need to do that. And who watches this? The Lord does. The Lord loves it. The Lord acknowledges it. So trust in the Lord. Love the Lord. And believe in His promise. I pray in Jesus' name. So let's all be those who do mission so that our family will be a family of that does mission. How? Even if you may not be able to do what I have done, the books that I've written, you can take part in it. Take part in it. Go with me together. So that we can transform many people. These Berea books that I've written, isn't it different to other books? Although they persecute so much, out of the 263 books, there is not one that they could actually criticize. Why? Because when they read it, they can't criticize it. And there is not one person who was able to criticize it. And we are sending this to various places in the world because we people cannot go to those countries. It's being translated and it's being sent out. And that's what we have to do. Don't just enjoy reading the book yourself, then also share it to other people. Buy 10 books and give it to 10 people, then out of 10, maybe 5 people will at least be transformed. If not, at least send one book. If you've read one book, then buy another one and let other people read it so they can be transformed. But people just read it and then they don't even read it. And so in God's eyes, God would say, oh, this person is such a small vessel. In the Bible, it says in Israel, there are vessels, articles, small to large. Are your family going to be a small vessel, like a little clay jar? You need to become a great clay jar, great jar. If you've read it, then you should let others read it too. Just as God sent us His Son, although I cannot send my Son, if I read one book, then I should buy a book and let the others read it. And if I see them being transformed, I should buy 10 books and then send it to others. So that if the 250 books are spread, then if you consider one book per person, then that's 250 people. You are letting thousands of people read these books. We need to break the alabaster jar perfume, pour it on the Lord's feet. Even though people criticize, we will receive love from the Lord. We need to take after this woman and think of her as yourself and as your family. Let's all pray. What can we do to do mission? Pray to God. God has shown us the way to do mission. He gave us His Son. He gave the Holy Spirit and He sent His Word. And by grace, He has words upon us. So He doesn't... And all that He wants to do is to save us. In the same way, we need to save those souls. Let's sacrifice ourselves. Let's pour out ourselves. Let's all pray together.